Welcome to the ITM Podcast with Steve Perrault and Joey Caboni.
This is episode 185 of the ITM Podcast, presented by SeatGeek. We are the unofficial podcast of your Boston Red Sox. My name is Steve Perrault. His name is Joey Caboni. And the 2024 Red Sox are getting their own Netflix series of all things. It can't get any more random than this. How you doing, Joey?
It feels crazier to hear it out loud. I've been reading it all day, but to hear you say it sounds like such a joke.
I wrote it down in the intro, and I you know when you hear a word or you spell a word out, you're like, that can't be right. There's no way I've been spelling it or saying it like that my whole life.
Yeah.
To your point, Joey, it's like, no, they're not getting a Netflix series. That would be ridiculous. The 2024 Red Sox are going to have a Netflix docuseries? Come on. Stop it. That's actually happening.
Yeah, I mean, is this worse than the, 2022 Jets? Getting Hard Knocks? Like, is this like the worst team that's ever had a real time documentary being filmed?
Wasn't it the Jets like this past year? Wasn't it 23?
I'm not the memory guy.
Joey, you just said it so specific. You made me question it. You were like, you know, the 22 Jets. If you put a year in front of a team, few things sound more confident than throwing a year in front of a team.
It was false confidence. I put it there to sound like I had confidence. I don't know. But the Jets got it 1 year, and we were all like, what are they doing?
Remember that 06 Bengals team? Oh, my God, dude. You can do that with, like, any team, and I think it works. They probably had Ocho Cinco, so I think they were pretty good. But, I just stunned. And you know when you wake up in the morning? You know that, Joe, right? You wake up mornings.
I've done that, yeah.
Yeah, you've done that. I think we've all done that a few times. I woke up. First thing I normally do is check Instagram, and that was the literal first thing I saw. The first thing that I saw was just a bird's eye view of Fenway Park with the logo Netflix on it. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Like, eyes still groggy. Your brain's not fully on yet. You're like, I can't be seeing this right.
Yeah, there's no way. And so I scrolled a little bit and I went back up. I'm like, all right, let's do this again. Red Sox, yep, this is their account. This isn't some, like, fake account that's doing a non-funny joke or something. It's Fenway Park, and it's just the Netflix logo. Which, by the way, Joey, and we love the Sox social people, doesn't feel like this was their decision in terms of how they presented this. It looked like the most last-second, like, presentation of all time. It's the most generic above Fenway image with just the most bland Netflix logo pasted on, just bloop, just right on there.
I mean, I feel like I might be getting things out of order here, but I feel like if you're announcing a series, it should come with a title, right? Like, they should say, this is the thing. This is the title of the thing that we're doing.
First off, yes. Secondly, you would think it would come with a video of some sort. Or like a montage of some sort.
A trailer, something.
And I understand it's probably a little more difficult for them to do that, considering this is the first of its kind. In terms of baseball, the Red Sox are the first. That's another thing that's got me dying, dude. The 24 Red Sox are the first team that Netflix is going to dive into in terms of Major League Baseball to show the world what baseball is all about and the culture of baseball and everything. This is the team we landed on.
And to flip it right around, the Red Sox were aware that they're going to have Netflix cameras following them around all year and still had this offseason.
Yeah,
and
because
they're not getting paid. They're not making a cent from this. But Sam Kennedy, in his statement, because they put out, you know, all of the big names had a statement on this. Breslow, Kennedy, Cora, Story, Ref Snyder. All the biggest names all had something to say about this.
Yeah, the face of the Red Sox, Rob Ref Snyder, had a quote, as you would expect.
Right, the voice of the fans. Kennedy said, we see it as an amazing marketing opportunity. So if that's how they're viewing it, and they're not making a cent from the actual earnings of the show or anything, it's crazy to field this team and be like, yeah, that'll do it. That's what an amazing team to go market globally. And in the same vein, dude, they do not have Final Cut privileges. So they're not approving of the final thing.
Which is crazy.
So if anything, it is way more likely that this comes out as like a damn look at how terrible this team was than anything else.
The other reason, Joe, why it would look like, or they'd present it like, wow, these guys really suck now, is the flip role of what they're going to do with the 04 doc. The fact that they're going to be able to do a 2004 Red Sox doc and talk about reversing the curse and, you know, winning it all and taking down the Yankees the way they did. And I can already hear, I've, you know, heard people throw around the Hard Knocks thing. I can already hear the Hard Knocks guy voice in my head of, the times were perfect. Everything was reversed, especially the curse. David Ortiz, Pedro Martinez, Manny Ramirez, some of the greatest players in Red Sox history. Fast forward 20 years, some of the worst players in Red Sox history take the field for opening day. They're going to do that. They're going to do the flip mm-hmm. stuff where it's like the then, and then they're going to slowly fade into the now. It's going to be the packed bleachers, packed Fenway, mm-hmm. Red Sox-Yankee fan fights going on. And then it's going to mm-hmm. be me and you out there for the Sox-Yankees game last year with an empty bleachers. Like, I can already see it. From their perspective, it's all lining up. Like, every all the storyline, this stuff writes itself. You have, like, one of the most historic years and teams in sports history in the 04 Red Sox. And what almost promises to be one of the most forgettable teams ever in the 2024 Red Sox. That's what we're looking at.
Selfishly, steering away from the team, getting to something way more interesting. What are the odds you and or I make it on screen on this, even for a moment?
This was further down in my notes, but I am making it a life goal to get in this thing. We're getting in this thing.
That's
I don't know how it's the whole season. The whole season. Now it's like, it's funny how, like, you know, the thought process works where, like we said, you see this come out, you see this announced, and it's like, what the hell's going on here? You read some of the quotes, and then the light bulb went off of like, all right, Joey and I are getting in this. I don't know how we're going to get in this, but I mean, who better than us to document the, you know, the Great Depression of the last 2 years of Red Sox baseball? I feel like we're the perfect mm-hmm. people to give them a little behind the scenes. And at worst, Joe, you and I are always aware of where the cameras are, so we can easily look like we're having a very in-depth, get some laughs in. We can do some good B-roll shots. We can be your mm-hmm. B-roll, Netflix. That's what we're trying to do. We'll be on the field. I'll talk to Duran or some of these guys. We'll get Casas over there and use that as you're, you know, doing your piece on the player. Or if you're doing the piece on the media, we'll tell you who sucks. Pete Ape, that's it. And then we'll also just explain, you know, the podcast game, kind of where we're at, how we got here, how other people got here. And we can sum that up for you, Netflix. We'll do it for free, too. The Red Sox are doing it for free. We will also do it for free. Mm-hmm. So I think that's mm-hmm. our best pitch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if only we knew somebody who had, like, a Netflix series who could put us in touch with, like, a producer.
Yeah.
Somebody to make sure that we get like a talking head moment.
It does feel
I'll go
like,
through my Rolodex.
Yeah. Go through your context. It does feel like it would help to have somebody that maybe did one of these before with Netflix. We don't have that, I don't think. Maybe, oh, my brother did. You know, at first I was like, we don't have that.
Do you have his number?
I don't. I'll have to get it.
All right. All right, if you run into him, let me know. I think I might see him at Christmas. So
I know a few people that I think have his number, so I'll get it from them and be like, hey, sorry to bug you. I got this from so-and-so. But, yeah, I'll have to ask him. I did want to just explain a few things, Joe, real quick off the top here.
Yep.
This is from our guy downtown, Ian Brown, writing a piece on the specifics of what's going to happen here with this Netflix series. The 2024 season will be one in which the Red Sox will allow viewers worldwide a rare chance to sneak behind the curtain and see what the grind of a baseball season is all about.
Real quick.
Yep.
Is that not the exact bio that we had for the first season of Inside the Monster?
Is that
not like the exact same words?
It is. It's word for word, bar for bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not his fault, but again, this is... It is pitching something that I think is expected to be better than it's actually going to turn out. I mean, Joey, in our defense, we were coming off being two games away from the World Series. These guys are now going to have to pitch this like this team's actually going to be anything of substance. And like, can we do sneaky talk real quick? And I'm going to get back to this statement. Everybody listening at home right now, you might be in the car, you might be on the couch. I don't know where the hell you are, right? Shut up. What if, now just, I don't believe this.
Uh-huh. Say it. Say it. I want you to say it.
What if this ends up being one of the most unexpected runs in Red Sox and baseball history, and it's all documented with behind-the-scenes stuff and mic'd up and guessed? That, wouldn't that be the coolest thing ever if that happens?
There are, if you're Netflix, you're rooting for exactly one of two outcomes, and it is the most unexpected World Series team of all time, or it's a 120 loss team with infighting and fires in the clubhouse.
Fenway literally being burned down. Like, you document that in HD.
Mm-hmm. So I think by like mid-April, early May, you're going to see Netflix really rooting for one or the other. No, I think, I don't know, Netflix account is not going to be tweeting out Go Sox or like whatever.
Let's but, go Sox. What if like our competition on Twitter is now like the Netflix main account?
Yeah. Like, yo, like, yo, don't let Duran get hot. It's like, whoa, whoa, what?
Raffy! Yo, Garrett Cole's father. Netflix account's going to be going off. I can't wait. I can't wait. Isn't it Netflix is a joke? Isn't that their handle? I think.
That's their comedy handle.
Oh, okay. All right.
They do have at Netflix, I would assume.
Our Twitter competition this year is going to be at Netflix is a joke. They're going to be really bringing it. But back to the statement real quick. It was announced on Wednesday that Netflix in conjunction's a big word for me. I just said it totally correctly. With MLB Studios will have unprecedented access to follow the 24 Red Sox from start to finish. The more I read this, I'm like, oh man, I'm feeling for whoever is going to be doing this documentary. That access will turn into a docuseries that will debut in 2025. This marks the first time Netflix has followed an MLB team over the course of a full season. Alex Cora, he's the manager, Joey. He said, we're going to embrace this experience from the very first day of filming to the last. This is an incredible opportunity for the entire Red Sox organization, but I'm most excited about what this means for our players. Netflix will be able to magnify their stories in a way Major League Baseball has never seen before. Adam Grossman, I forget his exact title. He oversees like everything with the Red Sox. He was super
CMO?
Yeah, CMO, yeah, I believe. He was super nice with us when we were doing the official show, but then we became bad boys and we're doing the unofficial show. He had a lot of quotes in this piece, one of them being, one other point. This is a bad one to start with, Joey, because then it's like clearly there were quotes before this. So just act like I didn't just say one other point to start the quote. Can you do that for me, Joe? Can you do that?
I can do it. Yeah, I'll pretend. I'll play pretend for you, dude.
Adam Grossman said, we are not getting paid for this, nor are the players. This is really about marketing and growing the game of baseball across the globe. So I think that's important for people to recognize as well, which to me is code for like, guys, don't use your memes and everything to be like, oh, God, look at this. Here's the list of stuff they will take money for and pay for, but they're actually not going to do that, you know, for the players. So there's a lot of stuff to sift through. We've talked about some of it, but one of the biggest things that I'm looking at here is who is going to be the lead actor? Like, who is going to be the face of this? Who, after we watch this in 2025, I kind of hate, by the way, that this isn't released during the season. Doesn't that suck?
Dude, it makes no sense. That was actually my next point, is the release time makes no sense, especially if this team is unremarkable, then having it come out 5 months after the season ends is silly. But and yeah, go on.
No, a lot of the quotes were about like how this isn't necessarily just about, you know, the ins and outs of like each game. A lot of it's about the experience at the ballpark. And of course, they'll lean into Fenway. There is an element too that always kind of drives me a little bit nuts, and it's nobody's fault. But when you get the Peacock game and when you get the Apple TV game, and you get whatever, I'm sure there's a game on like HBO this year, and they have to lean into like the day one stuff of like, this is the red seat. It all began. I'm like, oh God, do we have to do it? So we are going to have to do some of that song and dance again with this, which I'm beyond sick of because we've all seen that a million times. But even though they're going to lean into like a baseball thing, like, you know, just like a Grossman said, a lot of this is going to be evergreen. So, like, a lot of this isn't just going to be, like, tied directly to 2014, which is, like, make as much of this evergreen as you possibly can. Like, try to get away from the games as much as you can. Do a day in the life of these guys and the off days. Like, let's lean into that and get some funny clips that can last forever instead of their, you know, 9-10-game losing streak that's inevitable in April or May. So that part of it does have me thinking, like, okay, like, maybe this is something we can look back on. And it'll be a good picture of what Fenway and what the area and what the vibes were all like around 2024. And I'm sure, Joey, they'll be smart enough to interview guys like Ortiz and Pedro and get their thoughts on the current state versus what it was like in 04.
Yeah. What I will say that I did only just think of a minute ago that does kind of bum me out is if there is anything, you know, really inflammatory, if there's a clubhouse fight, if there's, you know, some real beef happening between some players or something, even though the Red Sox don't have Final Cut privileges, I still don't think that that stuff would ever make it to air because Netflix is trying to do this for other teams and not pay them as they do it. So it just hit me that that would not make a ton of sense for them to show that stuff. Because that's really one of the only things to root for here is getting to learn some behind the scenes stuff and be, oh, this guy and that guy, did that really happen? Damn. He said what?
You do, you got to put some stuff out there, right? You got to put some drama out there. If the whole thing is like, yeah, we lost, but, you know, I love these guys and we're going to be back tomorrow. What's the point of that? Do we really need that?
Yeah. Well, you know what that kind of lends itself to then in terms of drama and to answer your main character question. I could see a through thread of Alex Cora and his future and all that being tied to this.
Yeah.
You know, Alex Cora working with a new front office and his relationship with the players and if he wants to come back. And I could see that being the main thread throughout this and that Cora ends up kind of being the main character of this. I mean, do they release how many episodes this is? Because that matters to me.
I don't think they said that.
There's just a big difference between what you can pack into a 4-episode show and, you know, 10.
I would doubt they would do a full season, a full baseball season every 4 episodes. That would actually be hilarious.
They could.
They're not getting 162 in a 4. I would assume, I mean, what initially I thought this was going to be like the quarterback series they did, where they're going to follow the Dodgers, and they're going to follow the Cubs, and they're going to follow the lowly Red Sox. Like, I thought we were going to be like, I don't know if you watched that series, but when I saw the Red Sox, you know, in Fenway with the measly Netflix logo on it, it did kind of feel like we were the last team added to, like, a bunch of, like 6 teams, let's say, that they're going to debut and follow throughout the course of a season. The quarterback series, Marcus Mariota easily came out of it looking the worst. He kind of gave up on the Falcons. He, like, made up that he had an injury. It was bad. I thought we were going to be the Marcus Mariota of this, like, MLB Netflix series. Instead, to find out we are the only team, the 24 Red Sox are going to be the only team in this entire docuseries is concerning. It's concerning, to say the least. It reminds me of when Hard Knocks followed the Cardinals, I think last season or 2 seasons ago, like the in-season Hard Knocks followed the Arizona Cardinals, who were absolute garbage. Like, who wants to watch that? So, yeah. I don't know. It's just surprising. The talks for this started in 2021, which then make a little more sense why they would want the Red Sox if they were coming off of that season. You're like, oh, okay, let's do some more content with these guys. And then they probably had some people in the Netflix offices looking around being like, are we sure this is the team that we want to have as the first one we partner with for a Netflix series? I don't know if that's what we want to do.
It just makes this whole offseason puzzling from the other side. I know I already said it, but I can't stop thinking about that. To go, I mean, not that a Netflix documentary should decide whether or not you keep Heim Bloom in building or whatever, but it is just weird when all of your PR for, you know, the last 6 months has been as bad as it's been, to just keep hammering it into the ground. It's like you guys are preparing to hit the main stage. You know that, right? Okay, so like maybe Maybe just clean it up a little bit. Spend a little bit. There's just all these little things that you can do to prepare your image a little bit. Polish it up just a tiny bit. Take a shower. You know?
Joey,
you're going out.
There's still time. Like, in your going out analogy, yeah. it's like 8 p.m. right now. Like, everyone, mm-hmm. you know, the group thread's going like, all right, we confirm a spot. Like, are we locked in? Like, we about ready? Who's going to be... You guys Ubering there? Where are we meeting? You can still sneak in a shower with Jordan Montgomery. All right, you can shower with Montgomery like right now. If you do it real quick, you still have time to do it. But you gotta go. It's gotta be now. It's gotta be now.
And we all know it's not gonna happen.
No, I know. But isn't it interesting though? And you've made a good point here. No, I'm saying you made a good point of like, guys, you knew this whole time that you were going to have the entire world following this season. And this is the off season you had? Like, what? But there's still time to save it. There's still time to save it. It's not about if we believe they'll save it or not. It's just that the fact remains that there is technically still time to field a team that maybe would make the playoffs, especially now that the world knows that Netflix is going to follow this team.
Yeah. The absolute worst case scenario is just running back the last 2 years and, you know, going out there winning 78 games, missing the wild card by 4 games. It's just like that's so uninteresting to everybody involved, everybody at home. That's the absolute worst case scenario. It's just another middling nothing year. But if one of those two outcomes does happen where I'm rooting for you. I'm with you, dude. I like the Red Sox. I wish they would go to the playoffs.
Bro. Same.
I wish they would, you know, acquire better players. If they do that, I would be very happy. On the other hand, if they're not going to make it, now I have something to root for, and it's a dumpster fire of a documentary.
It is nice to know that we can fall back on this and just use it as like an excuse, like, oh, Sox have lost 10 in a row, but this is going to be hilarious in the doc. Like, we're going to get some stuff out of this
next year.
We'll use that as an excuse like we're enjoying it. Like, we're not, but...
Thinking about it now, like, this is going to be crazy in the dock. It's going to be a lot of this year is like, yo, I can't wait to see in the dock what happened there or whatever. Oh,
dude, Netflix is going to crush it with this drama right now.
I meant to say this earlier. When you're talking about the day one stuff and the, you know, the red seat and the history of the ballpark and all that... Yeah, we've all heard that stuff a million times, but I have enough faith in Netflix docuseries makers to make that they will make that stuff a million times more interesting than the Peacock live broadcast. You know, I still think that you can make that an interesting, fun watch, even for somebody who, you know, has known that for decades. You know what I mean? Like, they're just good at what they do. So I think they could still make it interesting.
Nothing against Heidi Watney, but as long as it's not like whatever the hell Heidi was doing for Apple TV or was just going up on the monster and being like, guys, this green monster is such a unique part of baseball. It's been here since 2003, before they had a net, actually, that would catch the ball. This ladder right here used to be what I'm like, guys. We're really like, this is what we're going to do. Also, you're not talking to morons. It would be a Friday, like, Red Sox-Pirates game in, like, April. It's like, mainly these are Red Sox and Pirates fans watching this game.
You know how many people are flipping through Apple TV?
Yeah.
And just happen to see a Red Sox game on and flip it up?
Really think there's that many that... Also, if you don't know about baseball, or maybe only have a little bit of an idea of this, that, and the... You don't know about the green monster? Like... I think most people know about the green monster. Like, it's a pretty big deal and has been around literally forever. So, I don't know. As long as they lean out of that stuff a little bit. But one other thing I wanted to add, or a couple, first was how awesome would this have been, Joe, if we got this news after the 2018 season? If they said that they were going to follow the 2019. Now, obviously, hindsight's what, you know, of course, you'd be like, wow, that ended up being kind of disappointing. But I actually would have liked to see that insight, right? And then it would have turned into the Mookie stuff would have been
exactly
awesome. Yeah. That would have been awesome. And then it's also, you know, Dombrowski going, and that actually would have been a great team to follow. And mm-hmm. you know, the dynamic of transitioning from, wait, are we not just going to win the World Series every year? And this is actually going to be a grind as we move forward here. That news would have been great. I think we all universally agree this is it's bizarre. To wake up to this, it genuinely felt like a weird dream, Joe, where it's like, okay, we all pretty clearly wanted one thing. We all want a legitimate starting rotation. And the Red Sox were like, nope, we're actually going to have Theo Epstein. He's going to run Liverpool. So we're going to bring him back, but not as the CBO or the GM. He's going to be the concessions guy at Penguins games. And we're going to give you a Netflix series about what promises to be the third straight last place finish team for the Red Sox. There we go. You guys wanted that, right? That's kind of what it feels like.
Before we fully dive into the Theo stuff, I have one more thought on the documentary that I have to just get out here.
I got a couple more, dude. I could talk about this forever.
All right.
It's crazy.
I thought you were making the transition.
No, I'm not. I genuinely can't believe this is happening. I can't believe the 24 Sox are getting a Netflix series. It's wild.
Now, I hate to say this, but this is one of those, like, hey, if no one else is going to say it, I gotta. There's exactly one title for this, right?
Well, what is it, Joe?
Full Throttle. Right? Like, doesn't that have to be the name of this, right?
I think whether it's just going to be, like, the 2024 Red Sox.
They're
going to
name it the 2024 Red Sox?
I'm just saying expect to be underwhelmed with the title. These are not typically – I mean, the whole quarterback series is called quarterback. Like, I don't think this is going to – it's going to be called, like, baseball, like modern baseball or something featuring the 2024 Boston Red Sox. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy.
Joey,
it's a good idea. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I just don't know if they're going to be that cute with it.
I don't know. It feels like that's the primary storyline, whether or not they, like I said, whether they make it to the World Series or whether they, you know, win a dozen games, that title plays. And I don't know. It just seems like, in my mind, there's exactly one option, and that would be it. But you're right. It's probably going to be called, like, behind the seams.
Oh, dude, it is 100% going to be that. That is exactly.
It's going to be something like that. Yeah. Behind the Seams actually is a crazy good name.
Behind the Seams is awesome.
That's an incredible name. I didn't even think about the Behind the Seams
wordplay.
What? That's
Behind the Seams? You didn't write that down before? You just came up with that?
I went to film school, bro. This is in my blood. Do you get that?
You
I was
know
born
how
to do this.
Nonchalant, you just said that? Like, I'm assuming you prepped that or something. Behind the Seams, Joe? That you got to get paid for that. Not only should that be the title, but we are going to sue them if they don't pay you for that.
Yeah, this episode might be delayed because we got to send a couple emails before we publish this one.
This is going to get out a little later than it should because this needs to go. This doesn't need to just go to someone at Netflix. This needs to go to the top of the food chain, and he or she needs to get that email tonight and reply to us tonight. So before we figure out how the money's going to work, I'm on the show too, so hopefully I can get some money out of this. I think this needs to go to Netflix. We'll figure it out. Apologies in advance that this came out at 2 in the morning. But
the good news is if you guys are hearing this, just know we made a lot of money.
Yeah. Behind the Seams, the story of the 2024 Boston Red Sox.
There you go.
It's right there. And baseball in the modern world, some stupid thing on the back end. Yeah, I think that's incredible, Joey. I did want to real quick get back to who I think is going to be the star of this show. If we were to set Vegas odds here, I think Tristan Casas is like easily going to dominate this Netflix series. I don't think it's even a question. I think he's like minus 500 to win best actor in a leading role. Like I would not doubt it for a second that the producers and directors with Netflix are going to be at Fenway Park for all of 2 days and be like, okay, that's the guy. That's the guy that we're going to follow closely all season long. The painted nails thing, the eating vegetables in the dugout, changing his hair every other day. He's got some of the funniest quotes you're ever going to hear. Mic'd up stuff. He's just gold. Also, probably going to be one of the best players in the game this year, or at least one of the best at first base. So, I mean, Tristan, of players on the Red Sox that were most excited to hear this news, I think Casas is in first place. I think he's like,
yeah,
I am, and not in a cocky way. I think he understands. There's some stuff he doesn't, like, he's also, like, innocent enough that he's going to fit in great. Like, he'll say and do stuff that maybe 5-10 years from now, he's like, ugh, that's a little bit, I don't know why I did that. But that's perfect for a Netflix series. So I think Costas is by far the best guy for this.
I just think he's in a different category. I think he's an actor in a supporting role. I think he's the secondary character. Like, I think he is Kramer in Seinfeld. You know what I mean?
Don't,
he's
we
the
don't
crazy
got a lot of leads
neighbor.
On this team. Is Raffy just the obvious guy? Like, there's not a lot of guys.
Story.
That, I guess. Are people going to love Trevor's story? Is not necessarily going to blow anybody away, right?
Listen, you need, like, a vanilla protagonist to just, you know,
Can I rephrase it, Joe?
Yeah.
The MVP. When we look back at this show.
Costas.
Think Costas is going to be the MVP.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. He'll be the heart and soul of the show. How about that?
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, when they write the reviews, he will be the heart and soul of behind the scenes.
I did, in one of the articles, I forget which one it was, might have been Cotillo, I did see that Nick Pivetta, I think he's like the players union rep on the Red Sox. I don't know if he like okayed this or was like the final say of the players on the team to approve this, but it was something of the sort, I believe.
I think it said he was pushing for it.
Okay, pushing for it, because my next category I had was who will hate this the most, and I had Nick Pivetta. I think I got to
guessed him too.
Yeah, right. So seeing that, I'm like, what? Nick Pivetta was behind this? I mean, a lot easier to say something like that in February, right? Or whenever they discussed this, which is probably December, January. Who knows when the talks of the players actually happened? But I can almost guarantee you that Nick Pivetta is gonna. He's going to have some run-in with a Netflix camera guy. He's gonna demand they keep something out, or he's going to demand he keep something in that maybe they shouldn't. Nick Pivetta is going to be a problem, and I'm saying that respectfully. I think he is going to be their biggest issue in doing this because he's in a contract year. He is going to be cocky as ever coming off of last season, and even just Nick Pivetta at face value is a madman. So yeah. I think they'll target him too, and I think he's gonna target punching one of the camera guys.
That's very, very likely. I was stunned when I saw that he was pushing for it, because he also came to mind for me of guys who would not be very happy about it. But maybe on the flip side, maybe he'll enjoy the spotlight a little bit. I think there's a guy who, you know, bullpen arms aside, like there is a guy who if you're not a Red Sox fan and you watch this whole series, you will never learn this guy's name, his face, or know that he's on the team. And that's Connor Wong.
Mm.
They will completely, entirely forget about Connor. Connor Wong will do everything that he can to stay away from the cameras all year.
When Eovaldi came back with the Rangers this past season to Fenway, I think it might have been Bradfoe. I don't know who interviewed both of them at the same time, maybe TC. And Connor Wong, he is just boring, dude. He is just, and it's not his fault, you know. I mean, he's got a lot in his plate. You can tell he's, you know, still growing up in this league. I think he's an underrated player overall, and still has a lot of potential. But he's clearly somebody that doesn't really give a damn about. Not doesn't give a damn. He seems like a nice dude. It's just he would not prefer a lot of this, you know, the interview stuff.
Yeah, I remember last year. God, I wish I could remember the finer details here. Somebody is probably going to be screaming at their car radio. But there was an instance where somebody was getting interviewed, or I think he was getting interviewed, and maybe it was Doogie, or somebody started messing with him and trying to make him laugh, and he didn't break worth a damn. Do you remember this?
I don't know.
Somebody was goofing with him or like standing behind him or standing behind the cameras making faces at him, and he just... Dude, it was like he was coming home from a funeral. Just could not be bothered whatsoever. And you need that guy, I guess. And a catcher makes sense. Catchers are, you know, the goalies, the drummers, the catchers. They're all a different breed of folk.
Mm.
But, yeah, Connor Wong is not going to find himself doing many talking heads for the Netflix series, I'll tell you that.
No, I think he's going to avoid the cameras a little bit. The last thing with the Netflix show that I wanted to mention was who we think is going to surprise us the most. Or who's going to surprise the audience the most, maybe even the baseball knowledgeable audience, but maybe one that's not as fine-tuned with the Red Sox like you and I are. I think it's Jarren Duran. I honestly think this is good news for Duran, that they're going to have camera crews and that you would assume the way they're going to conduct this is to try to put the players in a good light. Like you mentioned, they're going to want to get other teams to do this. They're going to want to get other players to do this. What better way than to create content that these guys can't wait to share on the socials and, you know, gain a bigger social following because of it? I think of The Bachelor, honestly, where the contestants that stick around the longest and that get in enough scenes, they benefit. They get a lot of money out of that. They get a lot of social followers out of that. I think Duran's going to be good on this. I know Jaren pretty well, probably better than any of the other players in the active roster, so I'm kind of a homer here, but I'm also saying that to say that I think his public image and how he's viewed is not really who he is. He's a really nice guy. I think he has a lot of, I don't want to say he has demons, but he has a lot of anger built up inside. I think Jaren is a guy that just wants to prove so many people wrong at like the same time and just can't like control it sometimes. But I think this year is enormous for Jaren, not just for his public image, but for what he could mean to this team. And if they get a day of him doing his favorite stuff, lifting and looking cool, maybe getting a couple new tats. Like, I think Jaren could look really cool in this.
And then lifting again.
And then lifting again, and then eating, and then going right back to lifting. I think Jaren could come out of this looking really good. And I think he's going to surprise some folks with how he carries himself if he just gets the chance to kind of do a day in the life type of thing. So, Jaren Duran, I have as my kind of surprise MVP of this season. Who would you have, Joe?
I'm going to take a wild card guess. I'm going to take somebody who's maybe a little further down the slate. But I'm going to go with Vaughn Grisham.
I like
just
that.
He's got some energy. He's got some spunk to him. How about that?
Mm.
He's got some spunk, dude. Mm-hmm. He's also, getting to know everybody. He's very young. He's the new guy in town. So... I'm going to take him, and the few quotes that I have heard from him are exuberant. So I'm going to go with Vaughn Grisham.
Exuberant. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exuberant, nice. Dude. I don't know.
Way to flex on him, dude. First it was behind the seams. Now it's exuberant. Like, jeez.
I don't know.
This guy just
firing from the hip today.
Has a way with words. I like that pick. So do we know it's Grisham? Is it Grissom? We had people in our comments being like, Grisham? What the hell? I think it's Grissom. I think.
I hear it both ways.
I do too.
Like respected reporters saying it both ways. So
I
until I hear Vaughn himself say it, but I don't want to call him Vaughn. He doesn't look like a
Vaughn.
No,
he is.
I think of Vince Vaughn.
Talk about not a Vaughn. It's him.
He could be a VON Vaughn, like Von Miller.
He's more a VON than an AUGH. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
but I don't think he's either, though. I don't think he's either.
No. AUGHN is like Uncle Vaughn.
Yeah. Kind of feels like he should be Alex Grisham or something, right? Doesn't that just.
Alec? I could see him being Alec.
Alec Grist? A Gris? Yeah, I don't know. I just don't
Ooh,
think
a
it's.
Gris.
I don't think it's Vaughn. But anyway, any other thoughts on the Netflix thing? I mean, at face value, stunning news today. It is some of the most stunning news of the offseason or any offseason that I've been doing a Sox podcast. Like, they're going to follow this team. Netflix has picked this team as the first team they're going to follow. I do like the 0-4 element. We didn't talk about that a lot. Maybe in part because we've seen a lot of 0-4 docs. Like, I don't know how it's going to change too much. I am never of the camp that's going to say, oh yeah, we've gotten that. Like, give me all the 0-4 stuff you can. I'm not gonna turn down.
Put one out every year.
A new 0-4 Red Sox doc. I'm gonna watch it every time. So of course that's good news. But I think Netflix now having both of those is gonna make this one even sadder because they're gonna lean into the 20-year thing a ton. They're gonna have players from the 0-4 Sox talking about how different things are now. So this could be tough. This could be a tough national. Global appearance for the Boston Red Sox. But yeah, I think they signed up for it. So it's just interesting move, man. They've made so many interesting moves and not in a good way. And you can definitely add this one on. But I'm excited. From a content standpoint, I'm excited. It'll give us a lot of stuff. I love that. And Joey and I are going to get in this thing.
Yeah, that is kind of my main takeaway is that I'm excited to see what they do with it. But my final thought on it is that if you're not Nick Pivetta or one of the few players who did have a say in this and you're already pissy about the team's inaction, to also find out that you're going to have a camera crew following you around all year, you're probably not super stoked on that. There's probably at least a handful of guys who are really not happy. Kenley Jansen.
Joey, as you and I are talking right now, it is 7 p.m. on Wednesday, the day they announced this. I can promise you there are a lot of players on the active Red Sox roster that are having dinner right now with significant others, with their family, and going, what the hell is this? Like, can you believe that they're going to have us do this on top of how this offseason has gone? That discussion is happening right now. And I don't care how much the players already knew. Sam can pitch it as much as he wants. And again, this was the players' decision. You know, we wanted to leave it up to Alex and leave it up to those guys. Like, okay, like, what player is then going to be? No, I'm uncomfortable with this. Like, you're a clown if you say no to this. So that it wasn't actually the players' decision. And Grossman, who I respect as well, said a similar thing of like, this isn't some top down. This is all on the no. It's your decision, guys. Stop it.
Like, exactly. And it's like the 3-4 guys with a voice who made the decision. Like, Rhys McGuire is not going to step up and be like, guys, I really don't feel comfortable with all of this. I want to just focus on the game.
Because everything gets out. Like, one way or another, all these stories get out. And if you then get pitched as the player that shot down the Red Sox getting a Netflix series, you look like a wuss. So no one's going to actually say no to that. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm just going to be interested to see how they use you and I, Joe, because we're obviously going to get a whole episode. And I think that's going to be great. So look out for that. The Theo news is new to us. We have not done a show since that news broke. So I don't want to, you know, spend a ton of time on it. But it's interesting. It's certainly interesting. Jeff Passan was the first one I saw with it. Theo Epstein is returning to the Boston Red Sox. He'll join Fenway Sports Group as a senior advisor. And while he won't be in charge of personnel decisions, his voice should carry enormous weight as the Red Sox figure out how to get back into contention in the brutal AL East. Soon after that, Joe, one Chris Cotillo, who won't shut the hell up about UNC. I want to hit his face. I want to, like, as legally as possible, punch him square in his face.
I have a different idea.
Yeah.
We should call him. Because of what you're about to say. Because I've been wanting to ask him about why he feels the way he feels about what he said.
I don't even want to talk to him. I don't even want to.
There you go.
Talk
okay. Well, that's fine too.
Dude, when UNC played Duke, Cotillo, who I know was drinking, which is fine, it's a Saturday, I get it, tweeted, like, I kid you not, 30 times. He put 30 tweets out there about North Carolina basketball. Who the hell do you think follows you, Chris? No one cares that you went to UNC. I'm obsessed with BC basketball and football. I barely tweet about them because that's not my audience. Know your audience. It's so annoying, Joey. I know you don't care, but it obviously has driven me nuts over it. Shut up, Cotillo. Anyway, so he said, Sam Kennedy today called Theo Epstein's new role an interim stop before his next stop and reiterated that he won't be involved in the day-to-day operations of the Red Sox in his role as senior advisor. Joey, if that's the case, like,
don't say it.
Can we just not even say it? Can we get anything? Like, Red Sox Twitter, and I don't think we were all doing backflips over the Theo news. We were all, if anything, like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Like, we love Theo and he's back. So, at face value, woohoo, that's great.
Yeah, finally, something net positive.
Yeah, it's like, all right.
Yeah, and the guys that I heard talking about,
there was no way it was going to be bad news to have Theo back.
Exactly. It was like, this can't be bad. They're in a better position today than they were yesterday. That's so cool. And then Sam Kennedy was like, yo, so y'all are excited? Oh, you want to hear some bad news? It actually doesn't matter. Yeah. And he's not going to be here that long anyway. Ugh. Yeah. That kind of sucks for you guys.
He's going to be Sidney Crosby's trainer. That's what we're actually bringing him in for. So, yeah, just don't even – just save it. Save the excitement. As you can tell, the point of this whole offseason is to piss you off even more. So, of course, we weren't going to bring in Theo to do Red Sox-related stuff. Come on. Use your heads, you idiots.
Dude, is Sam losing his fastball? Because, like – his whole thing has always been, like, satiating the fans. There's another word for you.
Oh, my God.
that's always been his MO. And then for some reason this offseason, he's like, eh, screw it. Like, he's just letting it fly. He's like, oh, you're excited about Theo? Nah, never mind. No.
I like.
Oh, yeah, payroll's going to be lower this year for sure. I know I've said in the past that we don't get into specifics, but this year I'm going to get into specifics. It's going to be lower.
I like Sam.
What are you doing?
I've liked Sam for a long time. That's not going to change. But he has had some damaging quotes this offseason. And when you're dealing with this ownership group who is moronic and has made some of the dumbest decisions in the last half decade, their non-answers have been loud. Their avoiding the media and avoiding the public has been very loud. And so when he then has to be the voice of these clowns and is in meetings with these clowns, it rubs off on you. And naturally, you end up saying some of the stuff you're hearing in those meetings. And you end up trying to defend them to a point where I bet he's, like we've said before on this show recently, I bet he's at his home office just sitting there. I can just picture him sitting there in the dark with a drink and just being like, how did we get here? Like, how did I get to the point where I am like the laughingstock now because I'm the guy that talks? So now everyone thinks I'm an idiot. You think I want to just wait for the youth? Obviously not. Like, I don't want to bring Theo back and have him do Liverpool stuff. Like, obviously, I just want all the good stuff. On this show, he said he would just sign all the good players if it was his idea and just have no money left, which I love that he said that. But then now, Joey, we're getting these quotes. Part of me thinks he just can't help himself right now, where he's probably so upset about the fact that this has become his day-to-day, just getting destroyed by the public, that he's like, all I know is to say stuff that pisses you off, so I guess I'll just keep going down this road.
Well, I mean, he's not helping his case, because, I mean, when he says the stuff like you just said, that does help his case. And then it's like, okay, yeah, at least there's one guy who's relatable in there and one guy who's still one of us. Stomping on the Theo dreams was so weird, because, like, all you had to say, let's do it. Let's do it.
There you go, Joe.
I'll not be a hockey player.
In your wheelhouse.
I'll not be a hockey player.
Joe. Sam Kennedy. Would Hockey Joe that works for the Red Sox handle this? You're the Hockey Joe president of the Red Sox.
No, I'm just Sam Kennedy. I'm just Sam Kennedy. I'm not a hockey guy.
You're Hockey Sam Kennedy.
Ask me about Theo. Ask me about Theo. We hired him today.
So, Sam, Theo Epstein, obviously back in the fold. A lot of fans very excited about this move. Would have to think he is going to play a big role in getting the Red Sox back out of the dumpster of the AL East standings, correct?
Yeah, we just got to keep cycling the puck down low, keep pressure. No. Oh, sorry. Restart. It's very exciting. I know Red Sox fans are really excited to have Theo back. We're really excited. We obviously trust him a lot and are excited to have him on board helping us navigate our enterprise as best we can and get us back to being a winning team. End of answer.
That's it.
Happy to have him back. Boom. That's it.
Joe, it's similar to other answers he's had too. If you see on Truck Day, which is like, if you're listening right now, and I respect all of you, I love all of you that listen to the show. If you're listening right now and you went to Truck Day, I hate you so much. I think you're a moron. And question where your life is going. He said,
You're a sicko.
And not in one of those, like, oh, dude, you're a sicko, dude. No, like, you're an idiot. Like, it's just one of the dumbest things you do. He said at that availability, which was, dude, Michael Hawley, by the way, a little side note real quick. He's my favorite person in this space. And I watched, what is it? Boston Sports Tonight? I forget what they call it anymore. But the night show that they have on NBC Sports Boston with him and Felger. And they played a clip from Truck Day. And I was so excited because I already knew Hawley was going to crush it. They played a sound clip from Kennedy saying, you know, we just got to get back to winning. And I understand why the fans are upset. It's about winning. Yeah, you know, his go-to answer.
It's on us. It's our responsibility. Yeah.
And Hawley was just like, wow, it was so hard to hear him with all those fans going nuts in the background. It's just like, there's no one there. Nobody's there. So, but with the Kennedy line, and the line he always goes with is what we just said. It's always like, hey, guys, I get it. Like, you want to support a winning team. You want us to get back to winning. We want that, too. It's that relatable line, even though it's like, if you really wanted that, you wouldn't also tie in the line about waiting for the youth. and just blindly assuming they're going to save your franchise. So when you're used to getting that, to see the Theo line was like, dude, just give us your cookie cutter. Like, go back to the, we just want to win. Mm-hmm. This was a layup. It was just sitting there for you to be like, yeah, you love Theo. We love Theo. We think he's going to bring us back to the top of the AL East. Don't go like, yeah, he's not going to be a part of the day-to-day operations. So just wanted to clear that. No! Don't even
like,
say
we're
it.
We're all finally happy about something.
I know. And the way Coutinho presented it, I hadn't seen that until a couple days ago. He was acting like that was news the first day. Maybe it was. I don't think it was news like that specifically. I think it was said like, oh, like, you know, Theo's going to be looking at more big picture stuff or whatever. But the way Kennedy said it was like, you know, don't expect him to be helping out that much. And this is just the, oh, what was the exact, an interim stop before his next stop. It's like, that's even worse. So he's just stopping by for a little bit and isn't going to be a part of the day-to-day. What's even the point? I understand. I'm not an idiot. Like, I get Theo being back is not bad. But Sam knows that too, and he should lean into it. Dude, take a W, bro. You had an easy W in your pocket, and you just threw it out of the car. Like,
that's the weirdest part, is that they haven't been able to catch a dub all winter. And
they got handed one and said, nah. they threw that out the window and said, guess what, by the way? You guys hate this team? We're going to feature this team on Netflix for the whole world to see. We're going to have the whole world see how much you hate this team. Like, it just keeps getting weirder. This is, sometimes we're prisoners of the moment, Joe. This is the weirdest offseason of my lifetime. Like, this makes negative
and
infinity
Netflix
sense.
Things, the Netflix thing makes it infinitely weirder.
Yeah.
Like, what a weird little fever dream that we're all sharing.
You would have thought it does feel like a dream. The Netflix move would have been the offseason where they got like Pablo and Hanley, where they're like, all right, we're signing these guys to go along with teaming up with Netflix for a follow the season docuseries. Like, that would have made way more sense. This then, just, you know, another layer of the Theo stuff. This was from Sean McAdam, who's just been, per usual, crushing it with everything he's been doing. Him, Spear, I'll even give that UNC loser Coutinho credit. They've had a great offseason, a lot better than the team. According to people with an understanding of the arrangement between Epstein and the Red Sox, he was brought back into the fold, at least in part, due to Red Sox ownership privately acknowledging that they have, at times, I love how many like little outliers just say it, at times.
A little bit,
a little
times,
this, a little that,
kind
at
of.
Times. I'm actually, you know what,
you
know
might
what,
think.
You know what, Joey, I'm deleting both of the, I'm getting rid of both those little cheapies
qualifiers
there.
Yeah,
we're getting rid of the qualifiers. We're going to read this to you guys the way it's supposed to be read. No disrespect to Sean McAdam, but it's whoever's giving him the information that's trying to put a little cushion on it. Just say it straight, brother. According to people with an understanding of the arrangement between Epstein and the Red Sox, he was brought back into the fold due to Red Sox ownership privately acknowledging that they have not given the club the attention it has deserved in recent years as the FSG portfolio has rapidly grown. That is so cheap. Like, to acknowledge, first off, acknowledging that is like, yeah, no shit, obviously. But translation, that's like, they've allowed the Red Sox, at least the Red Sox portion of their portfolio, to sit there and make all the money it possibly can without doing anything, and now realizing, oh, wait a second, okay, we've probably just been hanging out a little too much here, and we're going to bring Theo in to try to, you know, publicly acknowledge that. It pissed me off more seeing that. I would rather it just stay as something we say than someone internally being like, this is ownership acknowledging maybe they haven't done much for the Red Sox as their portfolio has grown with other teams. It's such garbage.
That quote, or that piece, whatever you want to call it, that
tidbit, yeah, whatever.
Scoop.
We'll call it a scoop. That is a scoop. That's a scoop.
Yeah, it's a scoop. Doesn't really mean much to me at all, because you can't have, first of all, it's coming from somebody outside of the ownership group saying they believe that's why they're bringing Epstein back. right? They're saying, well, I believe that they're acknowledging this kind of sort of maybe a little bit not loving the Sox as much.
I mean,
much
it's,
as
yeah, it's according to people that know what's going on, they think they're bringing Epstein back because of the lack of attention they've given to the Red Sox.
Yeah, but that's what they think, for one thing.
But
and
I would assume
also,
these are people, like, McAdam's not going to be writing on someone that's not, like, in these meetings or, like, has direct knowledge to what's going on.
Sure, but then, you know, when Kennedy comes out and says he's not going to be involved in the day-to-day and he's not here for very long, and then it comes out, I don't remember where I saw this, but it was that, you know, the finer details of Epstein's role are that he's, I didn't like that I called him Epstein.
I know, that I just felt the same thing. I was like, oh God, we're going to a different place. Yeah, well, it's Theo.
Gross.
Theo, there you go.
That the finer details of Theo's role here are that he's going to be looking at other investment opportunities. So it doesn't make any sense that they would be bringing Theo back because of a lack of attention to the Red Sox to have him come in and look at other investment opportunities in a short-term role. That just doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't this just further the narrative that we all kind of agree on, which is the disconnect between not just the Red Sox and the fan base, but between people within the organization and the front office? Because what I think this is people that McAdam talks to that actually have direct knowledge of what's going on saying, no, they brought Theo back because while he's not going to be the GM or the CBO, he's going to be a bridge between Breslow and ownership, and he's only going to be good for the Red Sox. And them genuinely believing that because that's like what was talked about in the meetings. And then Sam maybe having a separate meeting with Henry where it's like, let's make sure we acknowledge this is for like the portfolio and it's not like he's just going to be fixing the Red Sox. To me, it further, you know, illustrates the disconnect within the front office that they can't even get their message straight on why they brought Theo back. It's like, you can't do anything. They can't do anything right at all.
And it kind of points to a reality where the Theo hire is kind of like a pacifier for Red Sox fans. Where they're like, hey, I know we haven't been giving you the attention, but we'll bring Theo back in a role where he's doing a lot of other things. But maybe that will, you know, shut up Red Sox fans for a little bit. I don't know if I fully believe that. But
the way they presented this is as if they're going to, like, sign Montgomery, but he's going to be the top peanut guy. Like, I know you wanted this guy, but we're going to have him lead concessions at Fenway. So, like, yeah, he's here, but he's not going to be doing what you expected.
And
don't get too excited. He's not going to be the ace, okay? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And even if, Joey, because I believe Theo's going to have an impact on the Red Sox, not on, like, Liverpool or the Penguins or Sidney Crosby's butt, I think he's going to actually have an impact on the Red Sox. It's a massage. He's the trainer, so he, like, massages if he has a butt pain, Joe. That's what I'm saying. Like, he'll massage.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have an impact on the Red Sox, but it's just so disheartening to not be able to just have this segment be how important it is that he's back. Like, we can't even get that. We can't even get, like, all right, this could be something. They've stripped us of that. So it just continues.
And all of the details that they drop, like the fact that, like, hey, just so you know, he doesn't have an office at Fenway. He's going to be in Connecticut. Like, don't tell me that. I don't need to know that.
I know. I don't need to know it. I don't need to know it. It's like they need to hire someone that specifically just deals with these guys. That
Sam,
like,
Kennedy
almost,
is that.
No, I know. And I'm kind of talking about a PR person, but, like, we like the PR people. I don't know. It just, there's somebody missing from this equation in the front office. I'm not just stating that as an
Theo
obvious
scene. Whoa.
But yeah, it's kind of a Theo. And yet it would appear they might not be using them in the best way possible. But Theo, what Theo should do, Joe?
Yeah.
Because he's going to be a part owner. This is our message to Theo. Just be the full owner. Right? How about that, brother? How about you go from part owner to just being the owner? And then we're back. If there was one thing, I mean, money is obviously important. Let's just say he has infinite funds. If there was one thing with the current landscape of the Red Sox that I genuinely would believe would, like, immediately turn things around, it's if Theo was just the owner. If Theo was just the owner of the team, like, yeah, I think we're good.
I don't know if I would feel that way because I think John Henry has deeper pockets than Theo.
I'm saying if he could just steal his money. All right, this is what you have to do, Theo. You got to, like, get into his bank account, do some Ocean's 11 stuff, find a way to take all of his money because I'm sure John Henry's money is just physically sitting somewhere. So find where he's hiding. Find the John Henry vault, crack into it. Theo's smart, and he's got smart friends. I'm sure they can find a way to crack into the vault, get all of John Henry's money legally somehow, and then all of a sudden now you have those funds that you can use as the full-time owner. We just fixed the Red Sox, Joey. Theo Epstein is the owner of the team, and we don't have to listen to John Henry anymore, even though we weren't because he's ducking everybody and has been. And Sam Kennedy can just – he can keep his role, honestly. Sam can keep his role. I bet Sam would want Theo to be the full-time owner. So I think this works.
Speaking of John Henry talking, we didn't really talk about the PGA thing because I don't think it was really worth fully diving into. But one thing I think is worth noting, and this is maybe me being like a little touchy and sensitive right now to them, but the fact that they did do like a media availability press conference thing sucked. But what sucked more is that they called it a town hall.
I know.
That got under my skin. I was like, you're going to call it that? You're going to call it that after you just had a scheduling conflict to miss the town hall that you're supposed to do every year?
Dude.
Okay. All right.
Them being all smiles at everything but Red Sox events, how do they not pissing realize that looks awful? Like, how do they not realize that image is as bad as it could possibly be? Let's be all
care,
like
bro. Buddy
buddy
care.
And smiling and... and everything for everything that's like literally everything else that isn't the Red Sox, they're like, I want to be at this event. So please tell us when this is. We would love to be there. We're going to take all the photos.
I mean, everybody is calling it, you know, that they're treating Fenway like a tourist attraction. And I think that's such a perfect analogy because, you know, when you think of tourist attractions and vacations and whatever, like there's obviously one like supreme king and that's fucking Disney World, right? That we all think of. And it's a perfect analogy because anybody who's like a Disney fan, we'll tell you, not that I know, because I'm not a Disney adult, but I know that there are some people who are.
Yeah.
And they will tell you, Disney treats their theme parks the exact same way. Like, they don't put money into it anymore. They just know that you're going to come. They don't have to keep the rides open. They don't have to, you know, build new stuff. They just know you're going to come. They can keep raising the prices and whatever. It really is a perfect analogy. So the fact that, like, just to further the analogy, the fact that there are, like, you know, the diehard fans shake their fist and say, hey, do this more. Don't be going around smiling at, you know, the Avengers premiere. They're like, shut up, dude. Whatever. Who cares? I'm a billionaire. I'm going to keep making your money. Keep taking your money. And we'll just leave it at that. And they're going to. So, yeah, it's a terrible look. It doesn't bother them. And to be honest, I don't think it should because it's like they're fine.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I got
anyway, Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix, dude. I got some numbers for you real quick before we empty the bench. Theo Epstein was the GM for the Boston Red Sox from 2003 to 2011. The average Red Sox record, average one-season Red Sox record during that time. Can you guess, Joe, what the average win total out of 162 was under Theo?
91-71.
93-69. That was the average. There's a lot of 95s in there, 98s, 96. Like, consistently, they were in the hunt. The Red Sox average record since they won the World Series in 2018, and now you got to let me do this, but it's projecting 2020 out as a full season. I think that's fair if we're doing this, is 79-83. It is a 14-game difference between the Theo-run Red Sox and the last half-decade Red Sox. Do with that what you will, but it would be great, like I mentioned earlier, if we could be getting a more involved Theo Epstein here. And who knows, Joe? I mean, there's always the potential for titles to change and guys to take on more of a role here, there, the other place, whatever. So I say that to say it does not hurt to have Theo here, but of course we would like to have more Theo here. We'd like to have more of his abilities and connections and, you know, responsibilities to be directly related to the Boston Red Sox.
Speaking of the post-Theo era and, you know, a bad stretch here and there, if you can call a half decade a bad stretch, I was looking at some numbers the other day. I don't have them right in front of me, but I'm pretty sure in terms of, you know, looking at like 20, 21, and then 22 and 23, there is a worse 3 out of 4 year stretch that you can look at, and that would be 12 to 15. You know, even with 2013 sandwiched in there, 12, 14, and 15 were so abysmal that
it wasn't fun.
Yeah, that it's actually a worse stretch. It's funny to look at and be like, hey, we're there again. You know, minus a 2021 World Series. But
I think, I mean, it is a, it's not a worse stretch because they won the World Series, so it's not.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying those down years are even further down, and that, you know.
It's just hard. I know what you're saying. I mean, it's the closest thing you're going to get.
Six wins away from that.
It's the closest thing you're going to get. I was going to save this for a different show, but I'm just going to do it now. I'm just going to do it right now, Joe. In terms of talking about last place Red Sox teams, and this is stuff, this is information you guys should have to fuel your anger with the front office. In the 55-year history of the American League East, the Red Sox have never finished in last place 3 years in a row. So that's what they're up against right now. It's not one of these, like, when the wind's blowing in from the west. It just, in the entire history of this division, the Red Sox have never finished last place 3 years in a row. That's what they're up against this year. The Red Sox have only finished last in the AL East 7 times total. Seven.
Wow.
Out of 55. If they finish last this year, it will be 4 times in 5 years that the Red Sox have finished in last place. So half of the Red Sox last place finishes in the 55-year history of the American League East will have happened in the last 5 years. That's how bad this is right now. That's what they're going up against. And so,
wow,
my anger, your anger, the fans' anger is with how content the front office seems knowing this to be the case. Knowing the fact that you were on the verge of 4 out of 5 last, and I'm not saying like they know exactly how many. I'm just saying you damn well know that they know this team is favored to finish in last place in the American League East this year, and that would be 4 out of 5 years, which has never happened. And again, that would be half of the total times in Red Sox history that they finished last place in the division will have happened in the last 5 years. Like, that's how bad. So when it feels like, when we're talking about, oh, this is like the worst it's ever been. Yes. Like, this is the worst it's ever been. Anyone under the age of 60, this is the worst stretch of Red Sox baseball in your lifetime. And it's not really a discussion, honestly. So that word content, the fact that they consistently seem content now going with the youth approach and just say, we got to get back to winning. Saying we got to get back to winning is just the stupidest shit ever. It's, yeah, yes, obviously, yes. You don't deserve to use those words when your actions aren't even close to being put in place to earn those. To earn wins, it's on you to start. Like, you begin the wins train. So you can't, like, not put any effort into that and then be like, we got to do it. We just got to win these ball games. We got to win. Fingers crossed. That's what that is. Just, all right, you know. Technically, we have the ability to win that. We're gonna get 162. MLB is granting us not only a Netflix series, but 162 games that we technically can win, and we just got to get back to winning them. I'm so done hearing that line. And when I looked up these stats on the AL East and the Red Sox history in the AL East, 55 years, over half a century of the existence of this division, and the Sox have only finished in the last 7 times. They're on the verge of 4 out of the last 5 years last place. It's crazy.
Insane. One more thing on the past couple of years sucking, in case you guys don't remember that they've sucked. Just while we're on it, this seems relevant. Saw a tweet today from one Liam Fennessy. Hope I'm saying that right. Since inside this show started, I almost called it the name that it's not.
Inside the Monster. Dawn, screw it. I mean, that's the name of the show. It's Inside the Monster. I'm fine saying it. What are they going to do?
Since the dawn of this show, do you want to guess the high water mark in terms of record that the Red Sox have hit and when it was?
The highest record? What? Just like wins over 500?
Like,
guessing
yeah,
the exact record
over,
doesn't make much sense.
Yeah. How many wins or how many games over 500 have they gotten and when was it?
Oh, God. It's a good question. My guess would be, it would have been in June of 2022. And
basically,
they,
yeah.
Like May, June, right around there. And they were 9 games over.
Well, so it was technically the beginning of July.
Okay.
Because
okay.
It was, remember they had that crazy June.
They had a great June, yeah.
And then there was that day at the end of June where they started to stink.
Yeah.
Yeah. So technically it was July 4th, 2022. They were 10 games over 500.
10 games. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they were 45 and 35. Still second in the AL East. Mm. And then they went on, they went from 45 and 35 to, at the end of July, being 50 and 52. Oof. So they went 5-17 the rest of the month, which is just awesome. So, and then they've never touched that again throughout the rest of that year or any of 2023.
I remember that July 4th game. I think Cutter was really good. I remember him wearing like the U.S. you know hat. And
it was at Wrigley. Remember we had Crawley on?
Right, right. That is right. Yeah.
Because I went back and I listened to the episode from around then, and we were like, dude, Doogie is so hot right now. My God, they're rolling. Like, who's going to stop the... Yeah. We were really high.
This one specifically was at Fenway. I remember this one being at Fenway. But I do know... I think what you're saying, I think it was right around then, too. But... I think they shut out. Yeah, I'm looking at it. No, they shut out the Rays.
Oh, that was the Rays. Yeah, it was the Rays. Yeah, so it was right after they came back from Wrigley.
Right, because they started July in Wrigley. Yeah. They started. I think they should have. Yeah, it should have been right around then. Either that or like right after the break. But it was. Crawford 5 1/3, 8 Ks. He was great. 82 pitches, 60 strikes. Love Cutter, ITM alum. Time to empty some bench. Emptying the bench real quick. Ryan Brazier, dude. My goodness. He signs a 2-year, $9 million deal with the LA Dodgers. The Dodgers finally get their guy. Really quiet offseason for the LA Dodgers. As we were all, you know, sitting around waiting for them to make a move, they do. They got Brazier. And a great deal, honestly. He had made a little over $6 million, Joey, in his entire career. Heading into this offseason, he now more than doubles that with the deal he just signed in L.A. A truly insane turnaround for Ryan Brazier. 7.29 ERA and a .286 batting average against in his time with the Red Sox in 2023. That was over 20 appearances. He had a, with the Dodgers, he had a 0.70 ERA and a .140 batting average against in 39 appearances with L.A. That is just... beyond absurd. So I guess I'm happy for him. It's just to see him go from like one of the worst players I've ever seen for a good stretch to being untouchable in a postseason push, like just absurd. Just absurd.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he was so bad that his last outing at Fenway, we were at the game. And we were just dying laughing at the fact that he had a walk-up song at all.
Like, I know.
The fact that he had a song.
And then it wasn't
we were just
we're
giggling.
In heaven?
We're like, yeah, it, we're in heaven.
Dun, 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 dun. I'm like, if you could think of one song that shouldn't be Ryan Brazier's walk-up song, this is it. So,
yeah. And then he went from that to what he is now. I also, because you did mention the quiet offseason that the Dodgers are having, with this $9 million deal, that brings the Dodgers' total spending this offseason.
It's gotta be
to
like $20 million or something. What is it?
$1,219,000,000.
What?
Yeah.
Is that all deferred for Brazier?
American. Sorry, that's American. No, so they made a couple of other signings. I haven't really been plugged in much.
I would love the tweet to be Ryan Brazier has signed a deferred deal worth north of $1 billion to return to the Dodgers. They would do, talk about a Netflix special, they would do a Ryan Brazier special on how he earned the first $1 billion deal in baseball history.
Dude, I am genuinely happy for him.
I'm happy. Like, I had to think about it just because he like would piss me off. But it's not like he's a bad guy. I'm sure I've only heard that he's a nice guy. But it's more just like, God, he just sucks so bad. And it would just, he'd cause me a lot of frustration. But it is, I'm happy for him.
If anything, it makes me excited that the whole like pitching staff got reworked here in Boston. Because if a guy can suck that bad and then leave and be that good, that says something about your utilization of that guy, your preparation of that guy, whatever it is. That seems like something in-house. Granted, a change of scenery works, and there's a million other factors.
Yeah, a change of scenery going from a 7 to a 0.7. Crazy.
Exactly. It doesn't account for that. So that says something about how you're using guys, how you're preparing guys. So if anything, if you want to pull a positive out of it, at least, you know, Dave Bush is gone.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Corbin Burnes to the Orioles. That one just hurt. That one, like, just really hurt seeing that come in. We had talked last episode about their new ownership group and how, hey, like, who's to say they aren't going to just get Blake Snell? I didn't think they were just going to straight up trade for Corbin Burnes, like, 2 days later. That's what ends up happening. Anyone that's, like, celebrate, this is not a time to celebrate for the Orioles. We're down so bad. We can't, it's... I can't do it. Just can't do it. And I know last week we're saying like, oh, you know, we're happy for these guys and all that. I didn't think they were going to immediately get Corbin Burnes, like one of the top guys that we need. I can't be happy for that. That just annoys the hell out of me. But yeah, seeing that news come in was a gut punch among many this offseason. But for some reason, that one hurt more than some of the other ones. But yeah.
Yeah, especially when you look at who the comparable prospects are in the Red Sox system. That it, you know, I saw people saying like maybe Rafaela and Hauk, something like that, and that's on the high end.
Couldn't do that for Corbin Burnes.
Yeah, exactly. And that, like I said, that's a high end estimation for what that trade would look like. So if you're not engaged in a trade like that, then what are we doing here?
It unlocked a new concern that I have with Breslow, which is the way
that
he talks. No, the way that he's talked and some of the availability he's had, it's been an implication that teams are asking for the top dogs, right? That teams are asking for Meyer. Teams want Teal. You know, teams want Anthony. Like it's felt like that's what he means.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very concerned that's not what he means. When he's talking
that
about...
When he says, like, our top guys, he's talking about, like, Nick York.
Yeah, that he's even lower on the list, that when he's saying, like, you know, teams of controllable pitching...
You can't give up Luis Perales,
They really want, you know, top prospect talent. It's like, you better not be talking about our, like, 15th best prospect, dude. Like, come on. We gotta be a little bolder than this. I bumped into our guy, Andrew. Shout out to Sox Shots. He was on his way to the Beanpot. Was walking with Elaine, so caught up with him. Just want to give him a shout out. If you're not following at @Sox_Shots on Instagram, you should do it right now. I'll wait. I'll give you a sec. Go to Instagram @Sox_
S-O-X, S-O-X.
Yeah. _Shots, S-H-O-T-S.
Because S-O-C-K-S Shots is a very different account. You don't want to follow that one.
Way different. You do not want to follow that one. Like, please don't follow that one. Follow the one with the X. There you go. And lastly, Joey, for me, I can't believe we are 1 week away from pitchers and catchers reporting. That, I think most years we always say, oh, it snuck up. That really... snuck up on me in the worst way possible, where I was just praying there was more offseason left. Pitchers and catchers report in 1 week. And if you're at home thinking, Steve, can you give me a full breakdown of all the moves the Red Sox made this offseason? Sure. It'll take 2 seconds. They named Craig Breslow as their new CBO. They named Andrew Bailey as their new pitching coach. They got pitching prospects for Alex Verdugo. They got Vaughn Grissom for Chris Sale. They got Tyler O'Neill for a year. Signed a guy named Cooper Criswell. And they signed Lucas Giolito for a year. That's literally it. That is literally all the Red Sox did in an offseason where they needed to go full throttle. That's all that happened. 1 week away from pitchers and catchers. Joe?
I feel like a baseball game has never been on my television. Like, I feel like it's been 35 years since I've watched baseball. But also, like, I'm not ready for it to come back yet. It's a weird, weird place that I'm in. I think part of it was that the World Series was such complete ass, such total ass, that I, like, didn't get my baseball fill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It did feel like the season ended. It ended, like, before its natural conclusion. It felt like it got... You know what it felt like? That season felt like the Sopranos finale, where it's like, what?
Yeah.
It's not more?
Yeah, yeah. It feels like you had, like, a bad dinner. Like, you didn't get full. And then you're laying in bed, and you're like... You feel your stomach growl, and you're like, I think I should eat, but it's probably too late. I don't really have anything, and I don't know where this analogy is going, but it kind of dies there. But what I'm saying is it feels like baseball should have already been back, but also, like, I'm not ready for it to come back.
Yeah, yeah, me neither. Seeing pitchers and catchers show up and start giving the interviews and stuff they'll do on Ness and the report from the fort, all that stuff is, it does not seem like it's only a week and a half away. Like, that doesn't feel like that at all. But whatever, dude, this team is going to be awesome because they're going to have a entire Netflix crew. That's how big this offseason was. Netflix was like, we got to follow that team. Those guys are loaded from top to bottom, and we got to be there for the action. So that's what they're going to do. Any other bench joke?
Yeah, the Sox signed someone, dude.
Who?
They signed. You didn't see this news? The Red Sox obviously signed Dalton Guthrie.
Oh, yeah. I knew it.
Played 82 innings last year, dude, in the major leagues. So,
there you go.
He's a shortstop / third baseman / outfielder. So
Red Sox signed major leaguer. There you go.
Look out.
Look out. You got any other bench?
To a minor league deal. To a minor league deal.
There you go. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's it. That's it. That's the last. Oh, I guess this is bench. Thoughts on the Drake video? I wanted to text you about it. Just general.
The seriousness in which you said that, as if you were going to get a serious answer to that, is just absolutely ridiculous. Joe, I think this was you have great shows every week. This was one of your best shows, Joe. I really think from behind the seams to genuinely asking me my thoughts on the Drake video. Really good stuff. Yeah, surprising to say the least. I was kind of hoping for his sake it wasn't him. But then again, for his sake, I mean, it's not bad that it is him. Yeah,
that's worse publicity. Yeah.
There's worse, but yeah, that's really all I got. It's just kind of a weird video. It's kind of...
Yeah, it's definitely a decision.
I'm like, yeah. Who needed that? Who needed that?
Who was this going to?
Who was that going to?
I think when you get that famous, dude, you just think you can do no wrong.
I know, it's true. I mean, who's telling Drake not to do anything? Literally anything.
Exactly.
So when that's the case, that's the video you land on. So, yeah, that's how that goes. My closing thought is kind of annoying, but I'm just going to close with this. It annoys me to no end, Joey. We flew to Fort Lauderdale, Elaine and I. A little quick trip. Was great. Loved it. Awesome time. Took JetBlue. Love JetBlue. I've always loved JetBlue. We were on the way back, it was on one of their more, not one of their more like recent planes, because we took one of the newer ones there. And it's kind of luck of the draw sometimes in terms of which ones you're going to get. But it is, I've never understood. It's always blown my mind how moronic the design is for the, like, channel remote they have it like literally where everyone would put their elbow, like everyone on the planet, a baby, a nana, a me, directly. It's like the channel and the brightness specifically is directly where everyone's elbow goes. So between me and Elaine, there were no fewer than 10 times that my TV I was watching went to dark out of nowhere, and I had to realize it was either my elbow or her elbow. Oh, sorry. And it's like, no, I shouldn't. Neither of us should have to be saying sorry. This is JetBlue should be saying sorry. Sorry, we're idiots for putting the brightness where every elbow goes. It's so dumb.
It's always the dim button. It's always
the dim
button.
It's never the channel. It's never the volume. Sometimes it's the volume. But the brightness button, specifically the dim side of it, the make it dimmer button, is always right where your elbow goes. And it is just infuriating. They got to get all of those planes out of here. Just the newer ones are really nice. You got everything. It's like top quality TV, a lot of options and everything. But get rid of the old ones with the remotes where your elbow goes. And that's all I got. Joe?
You know, I really wish I had a closing thought, man. It feels like I should be doing enough to, like, warrant one. I'm really not. I get, you know what? You know what? I kind of do. I have a mini one.
Okay.
You know what? This is actually worthy of a closing thought. What am I saying, dude? This is absolutely worthy of a closing thought. I had a monumental dad moment this week.
Oh, yeah.
I signed Sebastian up for T-ball. Dude,
wow.
How crazy is that?
That is
how
big.
Crazy is that? Yeah, so that was, I signed him up. I might have gone a little overboard. I signed him up for T-ball and also a baseball camp at the same time. He's 3 years old. But technically, it's his age 4 season.
Okay.
And when they said it like that, which is how the website actually did it, I put in his birth date and they're like, it's his age 4 season. I'm like, he's only got so much time.
I know. Like, dude, you're actually a little behind. I feel like you probably should have started this at age 2 season, but I'm not going to tell you how to parent. Yep.
I'm not even kidding you. When John Boy posts videos of his son swinging a bat, I'm like, there's no way Sebastian makes the league. There's just no way now.
He's not going to hit that kid. Yeah.
Yeah. So now he's doing a camp and he's doing T-ball. So come March, he's got baseball 3 times a week.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Which is something on top of hockey and on top of swimming. So he's a busy boy, dude. You're not going to see much of me because I'm going to be busy training my prospect.
Yeah, to make it to the Red Sox. I do wonder when parents realize their kid actually has a chance of making the majors. The worst parents by far were the ones in farm ball and little league ball that acted like their kid was going to make the majors, but their kids sucked.
Yeah.
That is like, just don't be that. That is the worst. I'm not telling you. Joe, don't be that. If Sebastian sucks, don't.
Admit it.
Yeah.
No, dude, it's crazy how much like 3 years of your like preteen adolescence really determine where you go. It's really like 11, 12, 13.
Yeah.
Like if you can suck at 10 years old and it doesn't matter. But like if you suck at 13, 14, like it's done for. You're not going anywhere.
No.
It's absolutely nuts. It's like those years that matter.
I would watch, if there was like a documentary about like parents of legends, I'd watch it. Like when did you know? And with, I'll give the, me saying I'll give Nesson credit's a rare thing. So let's take advantage of it here. With the My Story, they actually do incorporate some of the parents, and they give you some really good insight. I think that's something that isn't done enough with sports documentaries. I would be genuinely curious, like, when did you actually know? When did you know? Was there a game? Was there a moment? You're like, oh, this kid could go, like, pro. He could, like, actually and take the Homer goggles off that it's your kid. Like, when did you know? When did other parents know? That's probably a better way to say it. Like, when did other parents come up to you and say, like, your kid's got a shot to like go far in playing ball.
I would imagine it's when you take the step from like, you know, town and state to like regional places.
Yeah.
And then you get there and you realize like, oh damn, he's still the best on the field.
Yeah.
That's probably the moment that you're like, man, maybe I should talk to somebody. Maybe, you know, more and more scouts keep talking to me.
Yeah. You know? I think that's probably a huge indicator. If you're getting letters from colleges and, like, scouts, like, early ones where the kid's, like, 10, 11 years old and you're getting, like, a letter from the University of Virginia, like, I think that's when it probably starts kicking in a little bit. But, yeah, I would be intrigued to find that.
Give me anxiety that I didn't start soon enough now. 10,
no,
11?
I think you screwed this up.
I only have so much time, dude.
I think you screwed this up. If you got this going for Sebastian's age 2 season, I think he would honestly be on the right track to at least play for the Pirates. Like, I don't know if he's going to, you know, really play for he's not going to play for the Dodgers, but like he could have a chance. Yeah. Of, but he could play for, if we're talking about shit team, he could play for the Red Sox. Like, he could easily play here.
He came to me the other day and he was like, Daddy, I want to be like Doogie. And I was like, unfortunately, buddy, that time has come and gone for you because Doogie's on the Yankees now.
Well, he so, could, I know what I he's saying. Did he say that recently?
He said it like 2 days ago, yeah.
I know what he's saying. He's saying, Daddy, I want to be on a 1-year deal where I can prove myself and earn a lot in free agency. That's what Sebastian's saying. I want to be in a prove the world wrong.
Himself.
And yes, that's what he means. He means that he wants to prove everyone wrong and earn that bag, dude. Yo, he wants to get paid, dude. Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's probably it, dude. You're right. You're right. Okay. All right,
that's
I'm
what
back.
He wants.
Back.
He right. wants to get the
now I'm
bag.
Back to reality. My son is going to be a major leaguer. You're right.
Get him the bag, dude. All right, that's it. That's it for episode 185. Five Red Sox pitchers and catchers report in 1 week. That is absolutely crazy. The Red Sox are going to be featured in a Netflix series this year. That is absolutely crazy. They've added next to no one. That is absolutely crazy. Everything's crazy about this offseason. Follow us on the socials, as always, at @ITM_pod. Link is in the bio to get yourself some ITM merch. We will be back next week. Until then, for Joey Capone, I'm Steve Peralta. Go Sox, kid.